There are people I'm not sure where they're coming from. Are these business people? Media? I know there's a business person. I know there's PMG. I'm not sure. Is that media? Oh, what? Oh, CNC. Okay. IDC. Okay. But you should be this side, not that side. Yes. Only members are this side. Yes. Let's welcome CIFA delegation led by the chairperson of the board and also Mayor Rensberg. And also the CEO, Dade Makuba. You are mostly welcome to this meeting of today, where we're going to be considering your annual report. Included in there is the audited financial statement. We're intending to wrap up the meeting at least the latest by 11 o'clock. I'll tell you why. Most of members here live in the rural areas. They have connecting flights. And for them to catch connecting flights, they have to leave at least the latest, to leave the airport at least the latest at 12. So we have that challenge. It's not of our own making. It's because of the transport infrastructure of the country, which we are dealing with currently. Yeah. I hope you understand. If we are not able to conclude, to finish everything today, just like we did with the IDC, we'll request that we schedule another meeting with you for to finalize. Otherwise, you're mostly welcome, and thank you very much for tabling your documents on time and having created time to come and account to us. We know that you are a sub, or you are a daughter to ITC. But you have a board of your own, and you are also fully accountable. You are a legal entity on your own also. So hence we called you to be here with us, and I'm glad that IDC staff is here so that they are able to also can chip in where possible. May I then, without a waste of time, hand over to the chair of the board to make the presentation to us and direct us further as to who will be continuing with the presentation. Over to you, Mayor.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. We always look forward to coming to the Portfolio Committee at CIFA. I think as a young baby, it's nice to come home and check what mom and dad are saying about what we are doing. And we always appreciate the comments that we get from the Portfolio Committee and look forward to the discussion today. As we all are aware, in terms of the global developments, there are serious challenges of unemployment, poverty, building inclusive economic growth. And different governments around the world have responded with different mechanisms. In general, small and medium enterprise development is considered to be one, rather than only, to be one of the interventions that responds favorably in these situations. Our government in South Africa has also, since 1995, embarked on a program of small business development in South Africa. there's many challenges that emanate from our history that affect the smoothness of the implementation of such programs and the impact of such programs, such as the low quality education from the apartheid legacy, the access to finance, in particular by rural people, by black people, by women. And so most of the policy of government tried to respond to those historical legacies, whilst at the same time responding to changes internationally so that we can develop small businesses that are going to be competitive in the intensifying globalization environment. CIFA, as we all know, I will not go to the history of where CIFA comes from. We all know this was the first year of CIFA as a merged entity of the legacy institutions. And we've had a number of challenges. We've had a number of achievements at the same time. If I started with achievements, in our results, we tabled in front of the committee results that are very positive compared to the legacy institutions. In fact, CIFA's achievements have outperformed the legacy institutions put together, meaning we have reached more small businesses than the two institutions did individually. We have managed to build awareness around South Africa through communication and roadshows, where we're communicating the products and the services that CIFA offers to small businesses. We also have been able to initiate and start new products and services to small businesses, although most of these would have been in the pilot phase under the year under review. And we've also formed new partnerships in trying to make sure that we reach more small businesses much more effectively. And my CEO colleague will actually expand on a number of these. We've also had a number of challenges that we've had to deal with, many of them in the first year as a result of the merger. We've had a number of people challenges, staff from the legacy institution who have battled to change the culture. In other words, in the first year we're trying very much to create a new culture, but we have staff that come from different institutions with different cultures. So to try and establish and build a new culture was a challenge. We still have some challenges with some staff members, although a few now, who still would prefer to remain in the public sector and not to move to CIFA, but we are effectively dealing with that together with EDD. We've tried to build and expand our processes, systems, so that our delivery model as an institution is more efficient. We have made a lot of progress in that area. There's still some more work that has been carried on into the current financial year from the previous financial year. We've been looking at how into the future we look at how at the sustainability of the organization. We are aware that we operate in an environment where the resources are not unlimited, and therefore as we start to deliver the programs, we also have to think about the future of the organization, that there's some kind of sustainability. We've adopted new programs, as I suggested, and therefore we've had to augment the existing capacity from the legacy institutions. So we've increased the capacity of the organization, also throwing in new staff into the organization. The board of CIFA, therefore, chair and honorable members, has been working very hard in making sure that we build a firm foundation for this institution, so that whatever we build, we add in going into the future, the foundation is strong. I'd like to express my sincere thanks on behalf of my board, my colleagues at CIFA, to the portfolio committee. As I said in my opening remarks, we always enjoy coming to this portfolio committee because we live here wiser. We get comments, we get criticisms, constructive, but most importantly, we get guidance that we integrate with our own efforts in our endeavors. Chair, I will now give over to my colleague, the CEO, to take you through the results. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and the members of the Portfolio Committee. As a CIFA, we have been looking forward for this day to come and table the first or the inaugural financial results for CIFA, as well as to present the business model of our organization. So we are excited to share with you what we have done during the year that ended March 31st, 2013. As you are aware, CIFA was a result of the merger which took place last year. We have spent the better part of the year trying to bed the merger related processes in terms of our activities within the organization. This includes putting together the foundation, which culminates in the policies and procedures to integrate the IT platform of our various organizations, meaning SAMAF and CULA. Our target was presented in April this year during our presentation for the corporate plan for the year 2013-2014 and beyond. Our business model remained to provide access to finance to SMEs, which include survivalists and cooperatives, ranging from as little as 500 rand to 5 million, using our various delivery channels. In April, Honorable Chairperson, this committee has requested that we need to come and share as to what happened to the pilot project that preceded the formation of CIFA as we know it today. That relates to the CULA Direct pilot project. And I would just like to share that with you before I move into the activities of CIFA. The CULA pilot project was capitalized to the tune of 55 million rand, wherein the 50 million rand was intended for on lending and the 5 million rand was intended for capacity building. This pilot was initiated in three provinces, or in three areas in particular, Tshwane, East London and Cape Town, of which of the 55 million, 23.4 million has been approved out of that, and the 12.7 million has been disbursed, which also culminated in virtually the collection of the entire amount that has been disbursed during that period, which in terms of the performance of the facilities that have been provided, we managed to collect in terms of the impairments, nothing has been impaired at the time. And then the portfolio profile represented 100% of the bridging loan. As you're aware, this was more of a pilot who couldn't be able to have at the time other product needs. The challenges, Madam Chairperson, relates to the issue around capacity and skills in credit. This then preceded the CIFA business model, which came as a result of the merger that has taken place. So I will take you through the business model of CIFA. I will try to be brief in terms of this slide. As you see, it's somewhat busy, but I will try to give context to it. We provide finance to small businesses via a number of channels. We have what we call the direct lending channel, where clients can be able to walk into our offices, branches, for them to be able to get assisted in terms of accessing finance. We do this through our head office. Clients can be able to come direct to the head office and can also be assisted, and 9 regional offices throughout the country, together with other 2 branches that we have. We also have a channel, what we call the wholesale channel, where we utilize the services of intermediaries. These are the financial services intermediaries, as well as the microfinance intermediaries. So in the retail financial intermediaries, we have about 6 entities that help us as a conduit to ensure that funding gets distributed to small businesses. We also have the specialized funds. We also utilize the services of the financial institutions, the banks, as well as the microfinance institutions and cooperatives. Currently, Honorable Chairperson, all our activities are done from the head office for a number of reasons. One, as a new organization, we need to make sure that we put all our processes in place, particularly when you look at the area of governance and risk management, because we need to be able to make sure that that part of the business is well watertight before we can be able to entrench this to all other provinces. Nonetheless, our credit committees, they sit 3 times a week to be able to assess the applications that we receive through various channels. We also introduced in May this year what we call online application, where clients can be able to log into CIFA website and apply for funding, and immediately they receive a feedback in terms of what is happening in terms of their application through the SMS process. So we are also we have also automated the workflow of our processes. In terms of the loan product, we provide the funding for clients who might got, for example, contracts. There might be contracts coming from municipalities, there might be contracts coming from provincial or national government, as well as from the private sector. That will be largely on your bridging loan facility. We have the working capital. As you are aware, small businesses do have a challenge in terms of cash flow. Some of their customers, they manage to be able to get maybe more business or more cash inflow around the end of the month, but they need to be assisted in between. So we then assist in terms of the working capital facility. We also do the asset finance, where they want to buy plant and equipment so that they can be able to continue with their production activities. Term loans, where they can be able to repay over a period of 5 years, for instance, to name but a few. Through our wholesale financing, we provide business loans to the intermediaries, all then on lend to small businesses. I mentioned about the specialist funds. We also have the credit guarantee scheme with the banks. We are also managing, Honorable Chairperson, a fund on behalf of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. The product, we name it Land Reform Empowerment Fund. We, as I indicated, have got various channels in terms of our regional offices, in terms of these intermediaries that I've mentioned, as well as the partnership. I just want to highlight one important partnership to us at CIFA, the SIDA partnership, a small enterprise development agency, where to date we have co-located in 25 of their branches. We have ensured that the team within SIDA gets trained to be able to offer the products of CIFA to clients that walk into SIDA offices. And we believe that through this partnership, we'll be able really to entrench to small businesses who might not necessarily be able to reach our offices. We also have support that we provide to cooperative enterprises. CIFA particularly provides the business on lending facilities to cooperatives. We also make sure that we provide support in partnership with other agencies, particularly the area of partnership in non-financial support, where CIFA will be able to assist. We just put on the slide to highlight that other sister agencies, for example, CIPS, they are responsible to register the cooperatives. CBDA, as you may be aware, their role is to regulate and supervise the financial cooperatives and the cooperative banks, while CIDA is currently providing support and training.
Sorry, Dr. Mako, can you just explain those?
Okay. CBDA, if I can start with CBDA, is a Cooperative Bank Development Agency. CIPS is the one where Company Intellectual Property Commission. CIDA, as you are aware, is a Small Enterprise Development Agency. And CDA is the Cooperative Development Agency, without the B. So that is the acronym, Honorable Chairperson. As the chair of our board indicated, we are satisfied at CIFA that we have managed to overperform the activities of the ex institutions combined. I remember at the beginning of sometime last year in November when we were in this committee, we have indicated that CIFA has a significant role to play. Our activities had to be a quantum leap from what the legacy institutions have done. We are not fully there, but we believe we are in the right direction. We are satisfied that our approval, so as disbursements have indeed outperformed the activities of the previous institutions. In terms of developmental impact, we have assisted over 28,000 SMMEs, which culminated in the creation of, in the anticipation of the creation of 19,800 jobs in going forward. In terms of the spread of our activities, particularly the direct lending, we have approved 146 million and we disbursed 41 million thereof. Our wholesale business has disbursed 157 million out of the approval of 293 million during the year under review. Just to break down in terms of the activities, because as a development finance institution, we are required or we are measured based on the impact that we have done. This is the impact, Honorable Chairperson, both through our direct lending as well as the wholesale lending activities. We have set ourselves a target of 30% in terms of the disbursement to young people, business owned by young people. This is the area where there is significant room for improvement. I will talk about what we try to do going forward in terms of the youth initiative so that we can be able to really improve significantly in the target that we have set. In terms of the priority rural provinces, we have just exceeded the target that we have set ourselves. Women-owned businesses, we are just under the 40% of the required target. However, in terms of the businesses owned by black people, we have exceeded our target, as you could see on the presentation. Madam Chairperson, one of the critical aspects that needs to be measured the activities. While we provide funding from 50,000 to 5 million. We need to make sure that those that are really require the needs, where there is a gap, where there is a challenge, particularly those that are requiring funding below 250,000. We have set ourselves a target that we need to make sure that at least out of our disbursements, 40% has to go to the funding activities for entities that require less than 250,000. To emphasize that we want to play in the space where we assist the small businesses where the gap has been identified. This slide, I won't dwell into much, is just to illustrate in terms of the numbers spread for youth, women, black business, as well as priority rural provinces. In terms of the provincial analysis, we are unfortunately still under overweight, I can put it that way. We are overweight in Gauteng and Western Cape, this huge metropolitan area. We need to make sure that we expand our activities to the other rural and priority provinces, such as Limpopo, Eastern Cape. We need to be able to drive the numbers. But Gauteng and Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, they are more likely to be because of the activities that prevail in these provinces. But however, we need to be seen or to make sure that we provide more of our activities in the priority province, hence the setting of the target in that respect. The spread relating to disbursements is in line to the activities on approval. As you can see again, the lion's share is the Gauteng and the Western Cape. Mpumalanga, it has fortunately have a significant approval as compared to a bigger province like KwaZulu-Natal. But we believe that there needs to be an equitable spread, particularly to where the fundings are more needed by small businesses. As a new organization, we are fully aware of our mandate in terms of deliverables. We'll make sure that we continue to make sure we receive provide opportunities, access to finance to these priority provinces. In terms of the outreach and stakeholder participation, we, as the chairperson has indicated, we have been conducting awareness activities throughout the provinces, the roadshows in collaboration with other agencies, because we believe that the days of working in silos belongs to the past. As I said before, we're not the only entity that provides support and activities to small businesses. Hence, in these roadshows, we partner with our sister agencies, the CEDA. Small business need to understand their regulatory requirement with regard to SAS. So we incorporate SAS in our activities, the NYDA, IDC as a shareholder, EDD as well as provincial development finance institutions. To date, we've done 19 roadshows in 8 provinces, save for Free State, which is next. It's not least because we are going last, but it's very, very important we'll be in the Free State, madam, very, very soon with in collaboration with our shareholder. That's the only province that we haven't visited. We are also engaging with various platforms, media, print media, radio and television, so that small businesses are aware that there's funding that's available from our agency. As we engage, we have particularly always want to get feedback as to how the small businesses are taking these initiatives of engagement through the roadshows, particularly the question that comes from the floor relating to how to access the finance, the issue around interest rates, the turnaround times, these are some of the activities that take place from time to time. Maybe perhaps in this slide, let me just end by mentioning relating to the relationship that we have with the NYDA. Ourselves, the IDC, NYDA, we have symbolically signed our partnership in Pietermaritzburg on Monday, where we demonstrate that we need to really provide access to finance to young people. As we are all aware, the level of unemployment in the country, of which majority are young people, we believe through this partnership we'll be able to really entrench and assist young people to access the funding. I just want to share with you some of the success stories. I'll be very efficient in terms of time, Honorable Chairperson. We have assisted Madam or Mrs. Bailey to be able to really operate her fruit and veg enterprise through our intermediaries called Tetla, so that she can be able to also assist in helping providing to her family. We have also assisted a security-related company which operates in the Northwest as well as the Free State to the tune of 1.8 million. The security company employs approximately 1,500 staff throughout the provinces that I've mentioned. We have also assisted Mayor Magdalene Paledi. She's having a joint venture in Limpopo with a bridging facility of 3 million so that she can be able to honor the contract that she received from the private sector. In this case, she received a contract from Anglo-American. She can also be able to provide her family in terms of their business activities. The funding that she received from our organization assisted her in the development of a village and a school in the Bekkersfort area of Limpopo. We also assisted Ntate Wilson Matiti from the Free State. He's in the construction space. We have given him 10 million rand over, no, he has got a contract for 10 million rand so that he can be able to render his activities on the contract that he received around Uchabelo and Bloemfontein areas. He's employing 165 staff members. We have also assisted young people. There is a young youth-owned business owned by Mr. Dumeti Masha, who is based in Limpopo, who got a contract from one of the mining houses to manufacture a conveyor belt that are used in the mining businesses. We also assisted a young lady by the name of Lungile Nkosi in Gauteng regarding her slimming a business for her clients, those that want to be healthy conscious in terms of their slimming activities. So we have provided a funding of 520,000 to this young Lungile Ngosi. Let me touch briefly on the human capital management activities. By end of March, following the merger, we had a total of 163 staff members, which of majority of that are women within our organization. There are a number of activities and initiatives that we had to implement, which is part of the bedding of the merger process, so that the organization can be able to execute its mandate with a united and a workforce that needs to be able to achieve the ideal of the organization. So the issue of transfer and placement of employees is one of the activities that management has spent time to focus on. The implementation of the change management program and activities, engagement with staff, the integration of our colleagues from Exmouth and Excula, particularly both in the head office as well as the regional offices. And then the development of our framework, particularly on the human capital, your policies, systems and procedures. We continue to address the challenges associated with the merger. We are fully aware that a merger is always an evolution. We are not necessarily able to address all challenges at the same time, but some of them are ongoing, and we are focusing this as management with the support of our board to ensure ensure that we bear the major related challenges that we face from time to time. I will ask my CFO, Madam Chairperson, allow me to take us through the financial part, financial performance.
Thank you very much, CEO and the Chairperson. We will not deal with the financials today. We need sufficient time to go through the financials so that we can satisfy ourselves fully. We really want to thank you for the information, and I can see you still have the same success stories as you showed us physically when we went for oversight. There are a few additions, which is quite impressive. I know that members would want to know also further to get further information around the progress from the time we visited to date, whether they moved from being emerging, most of them, towards small enterprises. Thank you very much. May we then, members, open the meeting. I'm sure that the last time we met, some of our members were not there. I think I omitted that part. Chairperson, I think there are new faces you don't know here. Sorry about that. May I, and I think likewise from your side, there might be one or two additions. May we, apologies, members, and the delegation from CIFA. Can I perhaps, for the sake of that, let me introduce members. Next to, just immediately here next to me, is Mem Khorosi. She's a member of the African National Congress here in the committee. We have Ndaten Tuli. He's been here since 2009. I think you know him better, who is also our whip. We also, following him, we have Meso Desi. She's also been here from the inception. Following her is Medudu Qili. She's new, of course, in the committee. Not just in the committee, but also in the legislature. Yes. She's also representing, all of them are representing the ANC in the committee. We have behind Mayor Qili, Ndate Mabasa, who's also a veteran of this committee, representing the ANC. Following him is Mr. Bukeman, representing the ANC, is also new in the legislature. Following him is Mr. Thring. Mr. Thring is representing the UNE, not A, or A, ACDP. He's representing the ACDP, is also new in Parliament and new in the committee. Next to him, we have Dade Mohai, who is representing the ANC. Yes, new in Parliament and new in the committee, after you've seen him. The gentleman that just joined now is Mr. Mubu. I think you have met Mr. Mubu. You might have met Mr. Mubu in your offices, when we visited your offices in St. Children, yes. He's representing the DA. And then we have the gentleman who, at the back of Mr. Trin, is also new in the committee and also in Parliament, Ubabu Nkwankwa, representing UDM. There are other members who are not here. We have a co-representative, Babu Ngonyama, who's abroad on Parliament work. We have also Mr. Hussein representing the ID. I'm not sure what's happening with Mr. Hussein, Mr. Mubu, your assignment. I'm not sure what's happening with Mr. Hussein. He hasn't been in present apology this time. Okay, I didn't give you an opportunity to give us apologies. Okay. Okay. You seem to be busy in other committees, I guess. Yes. Where am I forgetting? Oh, yes. We have also Mr. Hlengwa, who is representing the IFP. He gave an apology to me. Okay. He's normally attending. I don't know what happened to him, but that is the entirety of the committee. May we also give you the opportunity just to introduce yourself. I don't know whether it's the chair or the CEO. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. On my right, my colleague from CIFA, Iroy Dirk, not the chairperson, Andile Ramap. Okay. Iroy Dirk is head of strategy at CIFA. We have Andile Ramavunga, the chief financial officer. Pete Swanepoel is the executive manager responsible for direct lending. And then thereafter, we have got Notemba Kiba. She's the head of stakeholder relations and communication. On her left is Mae Leonie van Lelleveld. She is the chief risk officer. And then behind me, right at the back, we have John Medise. He's head of procurement. And then we have got Sipho Makgala, who is head of SME wholesale. And then we also have in our delegation our colleagues from the IDC, the head of marketing and communication, Zimbili, as well as Ken from the IDC strategy unit. Madam Chairperson, we also have our ultimate shareholder representative from EDD, Brian Zondo, and the colleagues also from the EDD. Thank you very much. Maybe Brian can introduce his colleagues there.
No, they're not from the HD. They're from PMG. And the other one is from Parliament. Yes. Those are members. Thank you very much, Dr. Makuba. May we then entertain the report, members? Thank you. I note Mem Kili, Dr. Mabasa, Mem Sodesi, Dr. Mubu, Babu Kwankwa, Mr. Tring, Mr. Pukman. In that order, please, Ma'am Mekali.
Thank you for the presentation, and thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to understand the funding, the loans, the grants, what is the difference? And I would like to know about gender balance in the staff, and if you have disabled small business people or even in your staff. Thank you.
Thanks, my colleague.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. And thanks for the presentation. My first question, actually my first point is to express appreciation that the report that we are receiving today indicates and illustrates that much good work is being done, and we really express appreciation. And then the area that I would want to understand is out of these organizations that have been helped, which of them and how many of them are cooperatives and to what amount. And then the second point is to understand, if you could speak again briefly to retail financial intermediaries, to speak of them in such a manner that we can appreciate their value, because we have always had a challenge where we thought money that's supposed to reach people, much of it is spent on the way through intermediaries. So if you could also speak to how intermediaries have assisted or not assisted, so that when we say so much money has gone to business X, how much was lost on the way, en route to business X. Thank you very much, Chair Koreche.
Thank you. Dr. Mabasan, Ms. Odese.
Thank you, Chair. Looking at the impact indicators, one can really say it's something to write home about. What is left is for us to oversight and assess, you know, how the business goes. So on the priority rural provinces, what factors do you take into consideration to say a province is a priority? And we also like to have the actual location, in addition to the provinces, of the businesses, so that when we want to oversight, maybe some of them are in our constituencies. So it's important for us to know where they are located. And also to have a breakdown in terms of race and gender and the kind of businesses, maybe just to cluster them. Because sometimes people focus on a certain business until the market is depleted and it doesn't make a profit anymore. But we're interested especially to see the kind of business that women focus on. We are known to be people who will focus on sewing and stuff like that. You know, we want to see some serious business that many women focus on. Which I think for now,
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a short question. Thank you for the presentation. Very encouraging, of course, that my colleagues have said. But I just want to find out, to you, Chair, I noticed that from the amounts approved compared to the amounts that have been dispersed, there's a disparity.
In which area? Direct lending or is it
loan product performance
or
the
new one? Okay.
Yes. I see that the approvals are like, for example, the household finance were 293 million as against 157 million disbursements. And so even direct lending. Why does it have this kind of disparity? Why does it take long to disperse those funds if they have been approved? I'm asking this question because, CEO, you recall I had written a letter to you regarding an entrepreneur from KZN whose loan was approved but disbursement took so long that his contract was almost cancelled by the manufacturers of the product that he was supposed to be transporting. The last question, Chair, is on one of the success stories, there's a youth project, On Point Manufacturing. I'm wondering, is this company the one that's associated with somebody whose name I don't want to mention? That we all know. Thank you.
Thank you. In future, can we really direct all the queries via the chair, so that when we channel issues to the CEO. We don't do it in a fragmented manner. I'm saying this because I have also channeled some of the issues, and I know there might be other members. This is how we're organizing things in the committee and the demo, so that we keep record of what we've sent and we're able to follow up with them as a collective also. I think it would help. I know you've already done that. I've already done that. I know that others have done that. But it's important that perhaps we channel them through the secretary so that it helps in terms of recording of issues that were sent.
No, Chair, can I just comment on that?
Yeah.
No, it was...
After our visit.
A comment? No, it wasn't.
It was different.
It was somebody who wrote to me to ask for assistance to resolve the issue that they had received. So it was not...
Yes, we also have the same. And from what you are saying, it would seem it's the same person who also wrote to me. You see, yes, that's why I'm saying, in order not to burden them with a lot of communique sometimes on the same issue, we'll make sure that those issues are sent. We won't keep them with us, just for order purposes. Thank you. Can you also, after talking, come and occupy the seat?
Thanks, Chairperson, and I would like to welcome the presentation. But this one, Chairperson, it's not a question. Maybe it's a request that next time the CIFA, if they can fully brief us on the Kula Direct or on the direct lending. As we said, it was a pilot. We need a full detailed what happened, what are the failures, what are the successes, so that when we go to the direct lending, we can compare to say, with this pilot, that's what we have achieved, or this is the correct direction to follow. Because if you just come up with these figures, we don't know whether this 23 million is a success or it's a failure. So I would say if we can have time set aside just to brief us fully so that we can take it from there. Because sometimes most of you were not there when we were asking the department to have a direct lending. And then we don't know whether it is the thing we wanted to have. So that's why we're saying if you can have time so that we can also say why did we say we need this direct lending, so that we don't just brush it and think now. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I think we did request for that information in our previous meeting. As we will be dealing with your financials, I think it will be important because it will form part of our handover to the fifth parliament. People will be taking over next year. Thank you. We will appreciate that. May I be excused? The whip will then take over the chair.
Thank you. I'm not sure whether you have exhausted your questions or whether there was any more. Baba Mohai, Baba Tring, Pukeman, and Nguangwa, in that order.
Well, thanks, Chair. I just want a simple matter. To understand the significance of the roadshows,
What would you say post roadshows is the situation prior to these roadshows conducted, so that they're not just mere a communications campaign?
Thank you, Chair. I think firstly, thank you also for the presentation. It is certainly insightful. My questions firstly would be, Chair, I think following on from what you have said, the cooler direct pilot, if that could be unpacked, because I think when one looks at it, there were three pilot branches, and as you said, what were the success rates, what were the challenges, what were the problems? We have 23 million approvals, but 12 million disbursement. 98% collection rate, 98% of what? 98% of 12 million. If one takes the approval, your percentage rate certainly would actually drop. So if that could also be unpacked. The certainly the concern that I have again is Chair, with the provincial spread. We have provinces that are known to be economically deprived, and we have other provinces that are certainly known to be economically strong, but we continue to fund provinces that are economically strong, and certainly that shouldn't be the precedent. And I've seen this not only with CIFA, but also with some of our other entities where the disbursement and the spread of finances seems to go mainly to provinces that are strong, and I think that has to change. The concern also just with regards to the eight equities that we have. We have banks and eight equities, specialized funds. What is the relationship in these specialized funds? What is our relationship? What is the monitoring mechanism? Is it money that CIFA has invested? What is the return? If so, is there somebody who actually looks at the performance of these particular equities? Then the NYDA also has been in the news for sometimes not the right reasons, and there are some challenges at the moment. Have you checked the performance also of the investment and the returns on those investments, if any, to NYDA? And then just a simple question, Senwest Bank, it's one of the banks I've not heard of, but you've got it under the, our banks, the credit guarantees, so who are they? And just another concern, Chair, with regards to human capital. We live in a society where South Africa, we fought for the freedom of all of our people. And one understands the inequalities that need to be addressed. And as a result of addressing those inequalities, we have certain legislations in place. But how do we look at incorporating and ensuring that all of our population groups, and I'm certainly one who believes that at some stage we do not classify people because we are South Africans. But be that as it may, the spread may have a tendency to further entrench division rather than bringing our people together in terms of human capital. And then just the last concern would be, when we are having presentations, for some of us who are new, it would be good to also have the full names of the acronyms, which the Chair, I think, addressed for future reference. Thank you, Chair.
In that order.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. Congratulations on your position. Thank you for the delegation for the presentation. I've got a question in terms of maybe a more broad question in terms of the target market of CIFA. One of them, in terms of the slide, is the survivalist and micro enterprises loans of between 500,000 and 550,000. Now my question is, there's been quite a significant growth in the private sector, loaning sector. We had Capitec coming up in those banks. I want to know, what is the impact on that in terms of your loan profile, your loan book? Because if it's 550,000 in these other institutions are also aggressive in that market, what is the implications for you, and also in terms of your spread around the country and your strategic
shortcomings from your side in terms of managing that transition? Do you feel you're on track and you've got the set skills to do the job? And then just the issue of targets. And there's an indication that I think 39% of the targets were not met. What measures do you have now in place to ensure going forward that those targets are going to be met?
Thank you very much, Chair. Well, I'd be failing my peers if I didn't ask CIFA, the management of CIFA, to actually explain on the impact indicators, development impact indicators, like there's facilities dispersed to youth owned 25 to 35, is actually the actual performance is 16.5%. Could you explain to us as to what were the reasons and what sort of interventions have you actually undertaken to make sure that you address this? Because this is just about the only target that you haven't really achieved. The other very important issue is that I'm aware, obviously, that CIFA has actually undertaken a process where it has started to stipulate a maximum permissible interest rate that intermediaries could charge in terms of the conditions of each facility approved the intermediaries. What progress has been made insofar as that is concerned? So that because we do, in some instances, still hear business people complaining about the exorbitant interest rates that intermediaries do charge them. The other very critical and important issue is it goes back once again to the discrepancy between your approvals and disbursements. What I'd be more interested in is finding out whether or not you have put strategies in place to try and address that discrepancy. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Baba. Questions put. You'll decide to respond. Secondly, for those issues which are financial, we can put them for that day, for the financial day. But to just indicate this one is financial, so it will wait for that particular day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The first question relates to the difference between loans and grants. In terms of our business model, we provide loans to small businesses, which in most cases supported by grants, what we call the institutional support. So a loan is where a client has to pay back. A grant is just to augment the business activities, particularly clients that might be having deficiency or challenges relating to setting up of the systems, etc. So grant augments the loan, but it's grant you don't have to pay back the loan. The loan the clients will be able to pay back. The issue around the gender parity, I think, is still a bit of a challenge. Although, as I indicated, we have got more women in our organisation than men. I think on that basis we are satisfied. But in terms of people with disability, it's an area where we need to improve significantly. We do not, at this stage, have in our employ people with disability, as you could be able to see on one of the slides that we have presented. But it's one of the areas that we are mindful of, not only relating to the staffing part, but also relating to the funding part, where we also want to make sure that people with disability also get access to funding. So those two areas are some of the areas that we are fully aware that we need to really improve significantly. We are doing our best to address the challenges in that respect. There were questions relating to how many cooperatives that we have assisted. Currently, I think that Honourable Chairperson, what we could do on this one is to perhaps provide a schedule of the portfolio of cooperatives that we have. You can forward that. We can forward that as part of other information. We have got about, if one of the slides will indicate about 10 cooperatives in our portfolio, but in terms of the breakdown, each activities, we can be able to provide. My chair wanted just to go to one of the slides that we just indicated. We have got 10 cooperatives. You could be able to see on the things like this slide. If you see at the last column indicates the cooperatives that we have assisted, about 10 cooperatives. But I think the detailed breakdown in terms of the quantum, the amount, we can be able to provide and share in terms of where we are in terms of the portfolio, of which most of them are the legacy that we inherited within our portfolio. It's one area that I must mention that we need to make an effort to make sure we have these cooperatives. As you are aware, there's been a challenge in terms of the activities around cooperatives, where they will be residing, whether the cooperative development agency, cooperative development bank, but we need to be able to put effort, especially on the enterprise cooperatives in terms of our assistance, but we can be able to provide a schedule, Chair, on that one. There was a question relating to the broadly around the intermediaries, what impact have we received from the intermediaries? On the slide relating to approvals and disbursements, particularly on the approvals, those approvals are largely made to intermediaries from our wholesale funding activities. We might not necessarily have the breakdown in terms of the split between microfinance intermediaries and retail financial enterprises in terms of specific entities, how much they have received. Maybe perhaps let me just broadly respond in terms of what do we see as CIFA in terms of the role of these intermediaries. As we build the institution, as CIFA, we believe we are not able to reach each and every corner alone without using these partners. But at the same time, we don't want to put a full reliance only on the intermediaries as conduit small businesses. Hence the drive on our direct lending activities. This I can respond is particularly relating to the question on the perception or the reality relating to the interest rates that are charged by intermediaries. We always say we want to engage and deal with intermediaries that subscribe to the developmental agenda of CIFA. We have got legacy intermediaries, of which some of the loan facilities have been signed, have been entered into in the previous years before the merger, which need to take a period of redemption or the repayment, which we still have them in their books, in our books, of which some of them, the interest rate particularly, have been exorbitant, if I can use that word, previously. But we are saying going forward, we need to be able to deal with these intermediaries that subscribe to our mandate. We need to make sure that they can be able to charge exorbitant interest rates to the end users. Because for us as CIFA, the most important customer or the most customer for us is the end user, the underlying enterprises that are funded by through the intermediaries, not the intermediaries themselves. So that is one area relating to the intermediaries. There was a question around Yes. There are instances where in business of lending, some will do well, some wouldn't do well. So we do have those that have not performed in the past, the legacy intermediaries that receive funding from our institution. There was a question from Method relating to the what factors do we use to identify priority provinces. Largely that we align with the definition of a rural province from a government perspective. The likes of Limpopo, the Eastern Cape, the provinces that are largely rural, and then the population live in the rural environment. That's how we define the priority rural provinces. I think the split of gender in terms of our clients, we do have the details for that. We can provide both in terms of youth, in terms of women, we are able to provide that because the numbers that we have that indicate the split that we have is made up of individual, so we can be able to go to the granular level to be able to provide the split. The question relating to discrepancy between approval and disbursements is a very valid question which the organization we are addressing it. Invariably, disbursements, they come after approvals, particularly relating to what you have mentioned, Honorable Mubu, relating to our wholesale business. When you provide funding to an intermediary, for example, the intermediary is looking for, let's say, 20 million. But out of the 20 million, the intermediaries give us a drawdown request, which some of them they spend over various quarters. They can also go into other years. For example, for the first 6 months, they indicate they're going to draw out of 20 million, they want to draw 5 million. The other 5 million, the remainder of the half year, with the remainder of 10 million drawn into the following year, hence the challenge relating to disbursement. But however, in our direct lending business, we want to make sure that as we approve, we need to also see the level of disbursement that is commensurate with the approval level. In terms of our corporate plan, we broadly said that of the approval that we have made in a particular year, 80% of that will be disbursed because there are certain conditions precedent that sometimes needs to be met by the underlying entities. But we are aware of the challenges. It's one of the areas that we definitely need to address, and we have seen already the significant improvement to date in terms of the disbursement, particularly on the direct lending business. We will indeed provide detail. In fact, we are requested to also come up with an addendum on the Kula Direct. We'll provide a comprehensive report, Honourable Chair, on that one to the committee, and we'll come and present it to the House as well. The roadshows. What would be the significance of the roadshows? Maybe perhaps let me put it this way. When IFA was established last year, we have said we do not want to go big bang in terms of marketing and communication about our activities before we can make our house in order. Otherwise, we're going to get avalanche of applications and we're not be able to handle them. So we believe that we are ready as an organization to go out there to create awareness about CIFA, particularly as a new organization. situation following the merger. We know small businesses in the corners, Olisiki, Bizana, they are not aware of what SIFA is all about. We need to be able to go into these areas. And the people that we engage with, the stakeholders that we engage with are those that we believe they strongly require financial support and assistance from our organization. We engage largely through the community radio station so that not only those that attend the roadshows, but those that were not able to attend the roadshows or maybe they're not aware of the roadshows that are taking place in their communities, they get to know what are the funding availability from our organization. So the impact for us, we measure that in terms of maybe firstly, as we engage, what are the issues that the small business are concerned about? And as I indicated, I mentioned the issue of interest rates, the turnaround time, the access to our offices. Those are the issues that get on the ground. We said to the team that we need to continue to measure if a person gets funded by SIFA, how did you get to know about ourselves? So our funding forms, how do you know about SIFA? So one can be able to determine whether was it through road shows, was it through a community radio station, all other activities. But it's one area that we need to be able to improve as a young organization going forward in this respect. The question relating to the provincial spread, again, I think we can be able to provide maybe more specific details on the provincial spread in addition to what we have given, because what we did on the slide was more to give the amount per province. What the members of the committee are requiring from the question that come up is that who are those people that have been assisted? I think we need to be able to provide more on that. The specialized funds, what is the relationship? Most of these specialized funds are owned by SIFA, largely a legacy institution that we own, owning meaning that we have provided funding to them as SIFA alone, and we've got control of them. And whatever income that arises from the fund come to SIFA, and we hire the fund manager. For us to be able to monitor and manage, we ensure that we have a representation in the fund, the trust fund, the trustees. The funds are also comprised of the investment committees. We make sure that we have got representation in the investment committees of those funds so that as they exercise their fiduciary responsibility, particularly the trustees, there is also that notion that as SIFA we need to be able to have confidence that those representatives in this fund are able to safeguard the interest of both the fund, but ultimately our interest will then be served. NYDA, we have entered into a partnership arrangement with NYDA. We are not giving funds to NYDA. There are no funds going to NYDA, but we are saying as NYDA is an organization that is focused on promotion of youth entrepreneurship, we believe they can be a source of the pipeline for SIFA. They can be able to provide us with, in terms of the activities, the pipeline of clients that can be able to then be funded by SIFA. So we believe that this relationship will definitely go a long way in creating that opportunity for young people that got trained and mentored by the activities that is done via NYDA. It's basically NYDA and IDC and ourselves as partners in this relationship. Senvest is a financial institution, it's not a bank, but we also entered into an arrangement with them regarding our guarantee scheme, where a client can be able to go to banks to apply for funding. SANVEST will assess their vetting of the credit assessment. Should the client fail to meet the obligation in terms of their loan that they would have received via SANVEST and other banks, they can be able to come to CIFA through our guarantee insurance scheme to call upon us to meet our obligation in terms of that guarantee. The issue around human capital, I think we take note of that, that we need to make sure that there is equality in terms of a spread of our workforce as we continue to build the organization. In terms of the merger process, all our colleagues from ex-Kula and ex-SAMAF have to come to the new institution. And then as we hire or through attrition, we are able to continuously improve in terms of our the balance. But I take it that our honourable members, ladies in particular, will be happy that we are overweight in the genders, particularly on women. On women at your organisation. So I'm using it literally speaking, please. Honourable Chairperson. The target market relating to survivalist and micro enterprises, I could see on the presentation, you will see that on the micro space, there are a number of activities that have taken place via our enterprise, our intermediaries. There was an issue around a capacity. Do we have capacity for us to be able to deliver on the mandate? We are an organization in transition. We identify, we are aware of the challenges that we face as an organization, and we have put intervention in place to make sure that our colleagues in various disciplines of our business are able to deliver on our mandate. It is a challenge, but we are addressing that. Particularly, we have entered into an arrangement, a partnership, currently with our sister agency, National Empowerment Fund, to second, in the meantime, until they get capitalized, they second their learned, experienced deal makers to be able to assist us in driving some of the pipeline that we have. But we continue to do the on-the-job training for our colleagues so that we can be able to seamlessly deliver in terms of our the deliverable that we have set. There was a question relating to what are measures were targets, I think particularly relating to the youth. Hence this partnership with NYDA. We are, as we engage with the youth, we need to be able to provide access to finance to youth who provide business propositions that are sustainable over a longer period of time. But let's truth be told, there's still a challenge to be able to get those propositions or those business opportunities from young people. It's not only the effort that CIFA can be able to do alone, we need to do with others, because there is issue of mentorship, there's issue of training. Some of the young people who come from the various universities, they need to be able, they might have a brilliant idea, but they need to be hand-held, they need to be mentored. It's a challenge that we have identified, and we believe that this relationship with the NYDA and other youth formation will really go a long way in us being able to assist young people who want to access funding from organizations. The I think I did earlier the differences between approvals and disbursements. And Mr. Chairperson, I think I tried to attempt to address as many as the questions as I could take them. Okay. Oh yes, yeah. Let me address the on point. We funded on point manufacturing. The other on point that, if I could remember, I think it's on point engineering. There's no relationship. In fact, when they invited the client to join us when our shareholder was releasing the annual report, we made it clear that this is on point manu factually, no relationship. There was a question relating to the activities that are done by other financial institutions, particularly the Capitec. CIFA provides enterprise finance. Capitec provides consumer lending. So we are not in the same space whatsoever in terms of the business activities. But these are the entities that we would like going forward into the future. When they venture into the enterprise lending, that we might be able to want to have some, to forge some relationship with institutions such as Capitec. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, CEO. Chairperson of the board, do you have anything to add? Or where you see there are gaps, just to...
Not much, Chair. Just one issue, that in relation to women employees, we take note of that. My colleague says, yes, we are heavily, we have in our employment most women, but I take note, Honorable Member, that at executive level that is not the case, and we are working on that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I would like just the members, if you feel you were not answered properly, maybe you can raise that, but we'll get them. It will be, what do we call it in Afrikaans? Is it a court pass or bad course? Yeah, so we will just give it to them so that when we interact, and then they can be able to respond on those. I've noticed Nkwankwa, Honorable Bukeman, Mabasa, Manzoditse. Just one.
Thank you, Chair. Well, the issue basically is, I hear the Chief Executive Officer when he says that the discrepancy between, you know, when it comes to disbursements, between approvals and disbursements, it has mainly to do with, you know, your financial, dealing with financial intermediaries. But, you know, when I read on page 14 of the annual report, you see that under direct lending, you still see that there are challenges. For example, the sentence here, without taking too much of your time, Chair, it says the disbursement of approved loans proved challenging as a result of clients not being able to fulfill the conditions as per scheduled payment agreements. All I'm trying to say is that it seems that the challenges are with, you know, disbursement challenges are also with the direct lending department as well, not just with the, you know, when it's done by the financial intermediaries. Thank you.
Thank you, Babu Mkwankwa, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Just show the issue of, again, of the targets. I didn't, maybe I missed it, but I think the committee wants an assurance. What active steps, action plans do you've got in place as the CEO to ensure that next time for the reporting period those targets are under control?
Thank you, Honorable Pittman, Honorable Mabasa. Oh, I'll come back to you. Now, first of all, colleague Chair, I wanted to apologize to the meeting. You might have noticed, or while you are aware that I'm not well, so to apologize to our guests so that they don't take offense at my, I'm not well today. And then my question is, how is the relationship between CIFA and the CBDA as well as the foreseen CDA? Did you get that one? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I think I also may have just missed the answer on the equities. I had asked about the relationship, performance, and so on, and Senwes. What bank is it? What is the relationship with CIFA, with the equities? The eight equities that are listed in the presentation. And are the investments, is there funding going into those equities from CIFA? what is the so what's our relationship with those equity groups, and what is, if there is the relationship, and if there are funds from CIFA being invested in those equity groups, what is the performance and who's monitoring that? Some of the investments sometimes can be a bit risky, particularly with the performance of the markets and so on. So, you know, what is our risk, if any, in that area? And then Senwes, is it a bank? Is it what is it? It's the first time I've heard of Senwes.
Thank you. That was Baba Trink. Thank
you, Chairperson. Chair, on the losses or inability to repay the loan, it is quite not clear as to how does it happen. We know in business such things do happen, but in this case, I think before, actually it questions the processes or procedure towards approval of the loan. But I think the first thing, which is a priority when a person applies for a loan, is the ability to repay that particular loan. And if there's mentoring and training, but you still have people who cannot afford to repay the loans, then it questions the processes towards the approval of that particular loan. And when the business goes down, I mean, the mentor or the trainer should be able to advise as to, you know, maybe the way of doing business in order to save the cost and avoid those losses. We know in business, first things do happen, but maybe we should ask the rate, the frequency, or is it many people who default their payments, or maybe just a small number, but it's really a point of concern. And the last one, as we prioritize rural areas, people have information, and say information is power. They're in rural areas, and we take for granted that people in rural areas, they're very clever. They know what information to provide for one to get the loan. The person will be getting a loan, you know, twice or thrice. Do you have mechanism maybe to monitor that it doesn't happen? The name of the business, but you find out it's the same person owning the same business, but with different names, going to that province and that province, wherever opportunities are, people full of opportunities. Do you maybe have some mechanism to monitor that?
Understand that we are remaining 6 months of our financial year. We need to be able to address some of the issues that we have experienced. I think I did the relationship between equities and equities. I think I attempted to address it, but I think that's like one that can maybe provide details. I indicated that we do have representation in the trustees. These are funds that we control. We have got a representation by way of trustees that sit in the trustees of the fund. We also have representation in the investment committee that make decisions to approve transaction by the fund itself to the underlying companies. We also have a post-monitoring department within CIFA that continuously engage with all our investee entities as to the activities in terms of performance, the reporting in terms of what comes back from these entities from time to time. So we have got those mechanisms in place. And in fact, we always make sure we also have the expertise that we can be able to source elsewhere. For people who have got expertise, for example, if it's mining space, let's have the people who have got mining, geology background to be able to be part of the investee committee so that when they make decisions, they can be able to understand the product. But there's always a room for improvement. The one that I also want to respond relates to the in a risk management space or the business, the type of business that we fund, you will do to the best of our ability that to mitigate all the risk that one can be able to identify in the transaction. But there might be also instances where when the client has come on board, you believe that this business will be able to do well, but they come challenges down the line. I just want to give an example. There are some clients that we have funded. We have done all the necessary due diligence and assessment, but due to other activities outside our control, for example, if they got contract then from the Limpopo government, when there was a moratorium to repay, not to pay some of the service providers, that has impacted some of our clients that might have been doing certain businesses. So what I'm trying to say is, yes, you can mitigate risk, but not all the risk. But to a larger extent, there will be those that, because some of these things, you do all what you can do to the best of your ability, but there might be some of the risk that could not really be mitigated to a large extent. And those are some of the challenges that we face from time to time. The less funded areas, yes, the roadshows is one of the. In fact, when we do the roadshows, we don't want to do the roadshows only in the urban areas. We want to go deeper, rural, where we believe people need awareness that funding is available from a state-owned entity like ourselves. So we believe that will go a long way for people to be aware. But at the same time, it also requires certain intervention by other sources, might be other government agencies, the municipalities, to identify opportunities for businesses in various areas. For example, the provinces that are rural-based, that are more in agriculture, how can we be able to interact with the business chambers in those areas to be able to help us to identify business opportunities for us to assist those that are in those areas? But there is a room for improvement. We'll always seek to identify these opportunities in the rural areas.
Anything to add?
Chair, if I may just add, I'll just add on two areas, the approval, disbursement, and the targets. I think to add to what the CEO has mentioned, we in the last financial year, we had legacy challenges of internal capacity also, where, in fact, there was challenges after approval to have the system was not seamless into disbursement. And so there were delays in disbursements also due to internal capacity. But as the CEO suggested, that you will see when we come next year that, you know, that has improved a lot. But we still have a lot to do in terms of making sure that system is seamless. In terms of the targets, yes, we've taken a number of steps to make sure that we achieve our targets. Just to mention a few, we have cooperated with NEF, the National Empowerment Fund. Given their challenges at the moment, we have partnered with them to utilize some of the capacity that they have, and we have already seen the processes actually assisting in more approvals from our side. We have formed partnerships that are also assisting in making sure that the loans that come through, the business plans are properly developed, such as a partnership with CEDA and also SICA through the business hub. So we again seeing a bigger volume of loans that can be processed, and that should assist us in achieving our targets in the current financial year. But also in terms of new appointments, where now we have positions where we need to fill, we are actually focusing on making sure that we bring the right capacity that will enable us to process our applications with speed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, and I hope you are aware that, as we said, there where you feel you did not respond appropriately, then we are giving you the chance that when we meet on the financial day, that you come up felt with where you felt it was not properly responded to. We'll start with that one, then we go to the financials one. I think we've come to an end of our engagement, and thank you very much, particularly from the CIFA entourage, to be here on time, and we received your documents also in time. And also to the members, I know it's Friday, then, but you decided to be in this committee. You show your enthusiasm. Thank you very much, and then until we meet, the meeting is adjourned. Thanks.